Our reading this morning, we have two readings. The first one is in Romans chapter 6, verse 15 to 23, and that's on page 1133 in the church Bibles. Romans chapter 6, verse 15 to 23, and that's on page 1133 in the church Bibles. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life of your human limitations, because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our second reading is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Romans chapter 12. And that's on page 1139. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. That's page 1139. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is God's word.
Main passage. And that's our main passage for this morning. Hello, my name is Jonty. Good. Let me pray before we come to God's word. For from God and through God and for God are all things. Father, we pray that you'll be glorified amongst us this morning and in our lives today, for the rest of our lives and forever. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We are all finite. And I guess that sometimes we feel that more than others. I guess often we feel that in relation to our time. Can I have the first slide up, please? So, all of us can divide our lives up into, whether you think of this as a month or a year in your life, you can divide your life up into like a pie graph, a pie chart. And there are different things that we have to juggle. This will look different for different people. You probably can't read the writing, it's my writing. Ignore the actual particular labels. This will look different for different people. Some of us spend our lives sleeping. Some of us spend half our lives traveling. Some of us spend our lives at school. Some of us spend our lives at work. Some of us spend a lot of time playing football for our football team. Some of us spend a lot of time on our mobile phones. All of us have different things we spend our time doing, different things we have to juggle in our lives. And I guess many of us feel stretched. Many of us feel the pressure of trying to do more and more things. Many of us feel the pressure of people saying, give me a bigger bit of the pie. Whether that's your school teacher saying, I want you to spend more time doing homework. Or it's your boss saying, you need to put in bigger hours. Or your wife saying, I'll never see you. Many of us feel stretched. And for some of us, as we've listened to this serving series over the last 6 weeks, some of us think that the message we've been hearing from the front is God and church want a bigger piece of your pie. There's more to do, rotas to be filled, ministries to be done, and we want a bigger piece of the pie. And it's true, there are rotas to be filled, there is ministry to be done, as is in any lively, active church as we are. But I think that would be a shame if that's the taste that's left in your mouth after this six-week series. And I think Romans 12, 1-2 is actually a helpful note to end the series on. And I think as we look at these two verses, we're going to see what God is actually saying, what the New Testament's actually saying, what we've been saying over the last 6 weeks, is both more radical and more wonderful than just give me a bigger piece of the pie. Big picture, what are we looking at today? God's not just saying, give me a bigger piece of the pie. God's saying, I want the whole pie. Let me read Romans 12 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. One commentator puts it like this. If we can have the next slide, please. Sorry, God wants all of your life. Yep, next slide, sorry. It's not what we can give that God demands. God demands the giver. It's not what we give that God demands. God demands the giver. He wants you, mind and body. He wants you to know his will and then to do it. He wants the whole pie. He wants to be king of your life. He wants to be the CEO. He wants to be in the driving seat. He wants to shape your priorities, your values, your desires, your dreams, your decisions. In every area of your life, God wants to be king. And I wonder how that makes you feel this morning. I wonder if you think that's a good thing. I wonder if you think that's a positive thing. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Maybe that sounds like a terrifying thing. Maybe it sounds like a terrible thing. And my aim this morning is to persuade you that there's nothing more wonderful, nothing more wonderful than giving God the whole pie. I'm going to do that as we look at two reasons that we're given in this passage to give God the whole pie. And the first is this. Paul says, give God your life in view of God's mercy. That's my first point up there. Give God your life in view of God's mercy. I'm sure you could all imagine that it's possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason. So kids, I'm sure you've never done this. I'm sure you've never tidied your room or done your homework because you're about to ask your parents to give you something. I'm sure you've never done that. Or I'm sure you can't imagine someone cooking their very finest meal, not to actually bless someone, but actually to prove that they're a better cook and so a better person. Or maybe a husband buying flowers for his wife because he knows that he's forgotten something, or even worse, he's been kind of flirting with someone at the office and he knows he shouldn't be. Doing the right thing, but for the wrong motivation. In Romans 12, we're told in view of God's mercy, we're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. in view of God's mercy, as we get God's mercy into our minds, as we consider what God's mercy is and how he's treated us in the past, we're told verse 1, we're to renew our minds with this. We're to get this into our minds. And as we do this, we're to become living sacrifices. Our life is to be a life of sacrifice. As we do this, we're to be transformed, verse 2, not conformed. We're to change. We're to be different people. And it's interesting. Paul doesn't just say, give your lives to God. He doesn't just say, be a sacrifice. He says, do it in light of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy. And the reason why is because there's wrong ways we can please God. There can be wrong reasons for us to give God more of the pie. I guess the worst reason would be to think that we could earn salvation from God. As if what we've done from God doesn't have any consequences. Maybe if we come to church a bit more often, give a bit more money to church, God will let us into heaven. That's not right at all. Or maybe pleasing others. Maybe if I sign up on that rota, someone will think better of me. Again, that's not right. Or maybe we think we can pay God back. You know what it's like? Someone gives you a Christmas present, and you weren't expecting them to give you a Christmas present. The next year you think, okay, I have to give them a present. And that's the way it works for God. God died for me, okay, I need to pay him back somehow. I owe him. Or maybe we think we serve God merely out of thanks. God's done so much for me, I want to thank him. Well, here we see why we should give our lives to God, why we should give everything to God. And I think the answer is because the mercy of God shows us the glory of God and shows us that he's worthy of our lives. Let me show you how that works. In Romans 1-11, Paul has been showing us God's mercy. Chapter after chapter after chapter, he's been showing us God's mercy. He's shown us God's mercy in chapters 1-4, as we think that we've been spared from the penalty due for our sin. We looked at this in Life Explored session 2 this week, didn't we? This world has a creator, a good and loving creator who's given us everything, every good thing that we've ever enjoyed. And yet we reject him. We decide actually it's better for us to live our lives our own way. We seek happiness and pleasure in other things apart from him. Hopefully we saw in Life Explored session 2 that is just the definition of folly. Rejecting the God who makes us and sustains us. Like Adam and in Adam, we've turned our back on God. And Romans 1-4 says our greatest and our oldest problem is that arouses the wrath of God. Can you think of anything worse than having the God who made this universe against you? Well, that's our condition. And yet God doesn't leave us in that. He spares us from the punishment due to us for our sin by sending his Son to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death that we should die, that we can be forgiven. Wonderful mercy. Wonderful grace. But it's more than that. In chapters 5-8, Paul says we've been spared from, yes, the penalty due to our sin, but also the power of sin and one day the presence of sin. Paul says, as we rejected God, we became addicted to that life of rejection of God, leading to us living lives of wickedness and inhumanity. But God doesn't just free us from the penalty due to for our sin, but frees us from the enslaving power of our sin. So now we're free to serve God in newness of life, which we'll think about a bit in a moment. Not only that, one day we'll be free from the presence of sin. One day we'll be with him in a new world, characterized by glory and honor and immortality. And then in chapters 9-11, Paul shows us that this mercy, God's plan to bless us, is a plan that he crafted in eternity, before you were ever born, and that one day he will bring it to fruition. And as he comes to chapter 12, having shown us God in all of his merciful glory, Paul says, who else will you serve? What else will you serve? What else will you give your life to? What else will you allow to shape your values and your desires and your dreams and your decisions? Given that God is this merciful, given that God is this just, given that God is this loving, given that God is this glorious, he is the one that we should serve. To give our lives to God, to use the words of chapter 12, verse 1, is our true and proper worship. You might remember the old version says, this is our reasonable worship. This is the sensible thing to do, given how glorious our God is. Mark Seyfried puts it very well in this second quote that's going to come up. Number one, the sacrifice that God asks for is the mere opening of our lives to the embrace of God's love or God's mercy in Christ. The sacrifice he asks for is merely opening our lives and our minds to the embrace of God's love in Christ. Paul says, give your life to Christ. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. It's not just about thanks. It's about worship of the great and awesome God who is there. Give your life to Christ in view of God's mercy. Secondly, Paul says, give your life to God as slaves of righteousness. That's my second point. Give your life to God as slaves of righteousness. Giving your life to God isn't just the rational thing to do. It isn't just the sensible thing to do. Paul wants to show us, I think, that actually it's our privilege. It's our privilege to do. If we flip back to that first reading we had, Romans chapter 6. Paul paints that picture that I mentioned briefly of what our lives were like before we became Christian, what our lives are like after we come to Christ. Let me just read from verse 19. Paul says, I'm using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. Paul's saying, we used to be slaves to sin. What do we call someone who's can't stop doing something that's only to their own detriment? We call them an addict. And that's what we were like. We were addicted to a life of rebellion against God. We are trapped in this anti-God, anti-life. That was our situation. But Paul says things have changed, verse 22. But now you've become set free from sin. You've become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Things have changed. You've now been freed. Free to serve God, free to live the life that you ought to live, free to live the life that God has made us to live. I think Paul just rejoices in the wonder of that in our verses in chapter 12. If you turn back to chapter 12, I think Paul's extremely excited about this. He uses five words to describe the life that we now have, the life that we've been free to have. I wish we had time to look at all of them, but let me just list them for you. So it says in verse 1, this life offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is a holy life. It's a life separated from the world and honouring to God. It's life pleasing to God. It says at the end of verse 2, to know his will and therefore to do it, is to know how to do good, how to do that which is pleasing. That which is perfect. There's two words that he uses there and that he repeats, aren't there? Pleasing. It says in verse 1, holy and pleasing to God. His good and pleasing will. It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it? Some of the sweetest moments in life are those when we get the affirmation and the support and the sense of well done from someone who really matters. Maybe you get the end of year review and the boss tells you to come into the office and you're slightly nervous and says, "This year you've had a fantastic year. Really proud of you." Or your school teacher brings you in and says, "Your report's about to go home, but I just wanted to say, I'm so happy with how you performed this term." Or you do something for your wife, husband, and say, "It's fantastic." Or your coach says, "Your performance today has been excellent." Some of the sweetest moments in life are when someone that matters to us says, "What you've done today, this year, this month, has been pleasing to me." The wonderful thing Paul's saying in these verses is because of God's work in our lives, we can actually please the God who made us. Because of us being cleansed by the cross, because of the Spirit empowering us, we can actually put a smile on the face of the Creator God. Give your life to God as slaves of righteousness, slaves of God, who can actually please your master. We're going to end there. But before we do, just a couple of comments on these verses in terms of how they apply to us in our lives as Christchurch Banstead. First to say, this is not going to be anything new. And many of you know this already. And Paul knew that we knew it already. If you look at chapter 15, verse 15, Paul says he's written this letter as a reminder to us, just to remind us to do that which we already know. I know many of you will need to know this. I know many of you will already know this, but we need to know. We need to be reminded of it. Give our lives to God. Give our lives to God. Secondly, it's worth saying this is not a small thing. Paul is saying in everything, the Christian should be saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." It will be costly. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at the life of Paul. It's not easy. It's not easy. And that's my third point. It's not an easy thing. 12 verse 2, Paul says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." We're going to be swimming upstream in a world full of people who are floating downstream. As we thought about last week, this is going to feel odd at times. We're going to look weird as we live differently, as we have different priorities to the world around us. It's worth saying this isn't a natural thing. Paul says this will only happen as we have God's mercy in view, and as we allow that to renew our minds. That's the reason why church is important. That's the reason why small and local groups are important. That's the reason why private Bible reading is important. Not as just something to do. It's a way of us reminding ourselves, renewing our minds in the truth of who we are and what God has done for us, and just how awesome he is. It's worth also saying that this is not about rules and regulations. Again, look at 12 verse 2. "As we do this, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is." We have to test and approve what God's will is. Yes, there are some absolutes which Scripture kind of gives us which are just non-negotiable. But there's nowhere in the Bible that's going to tell you kind of how many hours you should give to working for the church or how many hours you should spend looking after your kids. You have to use your mind. You have to test and approve what God's will is. With the Bible in your hand and the Spirit in your heart and the people of God around you, we have to discern what pleases God. We have to work it out, and we'll be accountable for our decisions. It's worth also saying, though, as we end, that this is a wonderful life. It's not easy, it's not natural. It will be strange, but it is the wonderful life. If you read on from chapter 12, if you read verses 3 onwards, basically, Paul focuses on the life of the church. And basically we see that to worship God, at the heart of worshiping God is serving other people. And the first thing he wants to talk about in terms of serving other people is serving in your local church. And there might be some people here who need to kind of consider how to do that more. And that's good and that's right. But as we've seen from the video, there's many people at Christ Church who are already serving many different ways. And actually, as we haven't seen on that video, there are many people at Christ Church serving in many different ways. Many ways that aren't seen, many prayers that aren't seen, many lifts that aren't seen, many coffees, many chats, many encouragements. And the big message that I want us to leave with as we end this series is to you who are serving, who know God, who are trying to live for him in all the different areas of your life, keep going. Keep going. It may be hard at times, you may be tired, you may feel strange as you compare your lives to the lives of those around you. But Paul says, keep going. There's no one more worth serving. Think about the God who's revealed himself in Christ. Think about his kindness to you. Think about his mercy. And there's no better life to live. A life that's holy, a life that's good, a life that's perfect, even Paul says, a life that's pleasing to God. What a wonderful thing as we serve each other week after week, month after month, year after year, we can know the pleasure, the smile of the God who made us. Let's pray. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Father, our time is so precious to us. Our lives are so precious to us. But help us to see that the logical, the rational, the true and proper thing to do is to give all of our lives to you as an act of worship. Father, help our vision to be clear. Help us to see you in all of your goodness, in all of your kindness. Help us to see that a life given to you is the good life. Show us this, we pray, in the power of your Spirit and for your Son's honor. Amen.